We appreciate so much your prayers and support over the years. And all those faces you saw, you had a part in that by supporting us and praying for us. And there's many more that have been saved, and it's just God. It's God. God amazingly does what He does, and we're just glad to be a part of it. And I appreciate this church and what you've done in supporting us, and more importantly, praying for us. And we do pray for you as well. Not a day goes by that I don't think about you, and we pray for you on a regular basis as well. And it's so good to see you guys are hanging in there. Amen. You haven't given up the ghost, and haven't given up on your serving the Lord, and there's some enthusiasm about you, and that's great, because we're getting ready to leave. Amen. I think the Lord's getting ready to come back, and with all the things that are happening with Israel, I think the thing that we need to keep our eye on is Israel, and to understand biblical prophecy. Me and Pastor were talking about this replacement theology last night, and that's dangerous stuff. That'll mess you up pretty much on everything in the Bible. And so I told my wife I got to eat venison last night, and she's like,
"Yeah,
you know, you missed out." And she said, "Well, actually, I don't feel that way." Of course, she would have liked to have been here to see y'all, but it's the kids, their age and all, makes it difficult to bring them along. They used to, you know, be littler, and I do bring one or two on a regular basis when I can, but now three of them have jobs, and two of them are in homeschool, and one is in college. So they're tied up with all that stuff going on. So pray, like Pastor emphasized, pray for the Thrun family. If we get the family right, the rest of the stuff will fall into place. Amen? All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. I think this drawing last night was rigged. Pastor Rice must have had in cahoots with the one that was doing the drawing, because he got this Oreo pie and I got a light. But he was very giving in that he shared it with us. Amen. Amen. All right, so in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, we'll read from verse 8 to 23. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telling the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan." Excuse me. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when he had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went out to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be here today, and we already rejoice in the good Sunday school lesson and the good singing and the specials that were already sung. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for the reminder of so many things that you've done in our lives and are doing. And Lord, we thank you for those that have come today. And Lord, we pray for a special blessing on each one. Lord, help them in their individual Christian lives and strengthen them. And strengthen this body of believers as they labor for you. And Lord, help them not to be weary in well-doing. Help them to know that, Lord, you're in control. You are the one that has established this work. And Lord, we pray that you would give them courage and strength to serve you in these dark days that we live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is quite a story. We read it as though, you know, it becomes kind of familiar to us, and you can take for granted what you read. But if you think about what actually took place here, it's an amazing thing what Elisha did and the Lord did through him, and that these Syrians were gathered to battle against Israel as before. They've done this many times, and they're getting frustrated with, as though there's a spy amongst them. They've got a person that seemingly is telling their whereabouts as they try to attack Israel, and they try to make battle plans. It seems like there's a spy. Well, there was. It was Elisha and the Holy Spirit and God talking to him and telling him the whereabouts of what's going to happen in the enemy's battle plan. And so then they come against Elisha, trying to deal with him and maybe even put him to death. And then he smites him with blindness, and then he takes him over to the king of Israel. And I mean, what a story. What an amazing thing that Elisha was able to do that, and they did good to the Syrians in the end. And I want to take this story and apply it to modern day New Testament Christianity. None of us here will probably smite anybody with blindness. None of us here will probably, in the way that Elisha was used, he had his time for that particular season, but it still has many truths in it that apply to us today. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, if you don't mind turning there with me. And I love using Old Testament truths, things that happened in history, to apply to our Christian life to in the age that we live. It says, By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so Elisha was able to see these chariots, these angels, these defenders that were on his side, and yet the servant couldn't see him. And that was because he lacked the faith. And then through the prayer of Elisha, he was able to see him. And I want to preach this morning on seeing him who is invisible. And if you're saved here this morning, and I'm assuming everybody here this morning is saved, then there was a point in time in your life where you saw him who was invisible. You saw God as he is. And the Bible requires you to see God by faith in order to be saved. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So everybody, if you're saved here this morning, everybody that is saved, you get saved by what? By faith. It's not because you actually saw God. You saw him by faith. Because he's invisible. He can't be seen. We don't live in the days of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And what could be applied to this servant is, this servant could not see. And you could apply that to us before we were saved, and anybody that's not saved. Now, I would say most people believe there is a God. Even the unsaved believe there is a God, except for the fringe that are called atheists. They believe that God exists, but they don't really, it doesn't bear any practicality on their life. But the worst kind of blindness there is spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And the truth is if they could see the wonderful God that wants to save them, they would get saved. And isn't that our job as Christians, to make known Christ, to help them see what they can't see with their physical eyes? And so, by faith, they need to be able to see what you have already saw. And that is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. First, I want to say is the reality of the unseen world. It may seem silly. Well, I only believe in what I see. Seeing is believing. Well, you actually don't believe that. If you're a secularist or a scientist that believes only in the material world, that's not true. They believe in the use of radio waves. You can't see radio waves, can you? Yet there's radio waves that probably are traveling through this room right now. And there's cellular waves, there's microwaves, there's TV, there's internet. There's all kinds of things that are passing through this room right now, and you can't see it. There's music that's traveling through space right now. You can't see it, but if you had the right device, you could pick it up. If you're tuned to the frequency of that wave that's invisible, you can make it usable to you, and it can become visible. Television is an excellent example of that. Internet is an excellent example of that. There was a church with their UHF sound system. They were using it for church services. Like, I don't know what type of system you have here, but anyway, they were using it to have their services, and the UHF system picked up on the CDs of some truckers driving by. And you could hear their conversation over the church sound system. Now, to them, those truckers were invisible, but not the sound system. The sound system picked them up. And so you have these things that are invisible. We can't see them, but they're just as real. And in fact, what the Bible actually says is the invisible is more real than the physical. If you apply it to the importance of what something is, the Bible says that the important things are actually invisible. God, the Bible, the Word of God in particular, that was spoken to create the Bible, the Holy Spirit, heaven, hell, all those things are what? Well, you can't see them with your eyes. And yet those things are what? Eternal. It's the invisible things that go on forever and ever. The things that you lay your eyes on, the material, they're only temporal. Now, I know that God's going to recreate the heaven and the earth, and that's going to be something that's going to go on forever. But that being said, it would benefit us much to know as much as we possibly can about this invisible world that really exists. You know, we have this saying that we say, out of sight, out of mind. That's not good philosophy if you're going to live by faith. You need to think in a way that includes the invisible.
Amen.
Amen? I'm not getting mystical on you. I'm getting biblical as I can, okay? Because one day we're going to face it in all of its
Amen.
Truth. In all of its manifestation, we're going to face God. We're going to face heaven and the reality that there is a hell. We're going to face these things. What about Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I wasn't there. But the Bible says that that which we see came from that which we cannot see. So what are the reasons to know about the invisible world? What are some reasons to know it? What good does it know to know these things? And how do they have a bearing on my physical life? Well, here's some reasons that I'll give you. There's several reasons beyond what I probably will be able to cover this morning. The first one was in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. You have the servant of Elisha, and he was what? He was afraid of all these soldiers that he could see that were against them. And the answer from Elisha to his servant said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." That solved the fear problem. Once he could see that there was chariots of fire that were there to protect them, it changed everything. And you know that's the way it should be with us Christians. The Bible says 365 times, "Fear thou not." It says that. You know why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so knowing that God is there makes all the difference in the world. Amen. In that we should not fear what man can do unto us. This will help you take a stand for the Lord. Mm-hmm. When you're the only one. Like Daniel took a stand. He said, "I'm going to pray whether they make a law against that or not." The three Hebrew children said, "We're not going to bow whether they make a law against it or not. We're not going to bow to an idol." What about you? Do you just do what everybody else does? Do you go with the flow? Maybe it's because you don't see him who is invisible.
Amen.
You have fear. A lot of people are controlled by fear, including myself at times. I remember walking away with my tail between my legs sometimes because of the fear of man brings a snare. But when I see him who's invisible, man, I take courage. Because I know that, hey, he's in control, and it helps us to see the reality of the enemy. The enemy who is invisible, we don't fight against flesh and blood, the Bible says. We fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's who the enemy is. And he is real.
Amen.
Do you know that a lot of Christians can't even recognize temptation because they're not in the battle. They're not fighting spiritual wickedness. They're not fighting against the temptations that come. And therefore, they need to recognize their enemy is a real enemy. They need to recognize that Satan is there and that he needs to be fought against. You know, one of Satan's greatest tools is that he makes you believe that he does not exist. If he can make you believe that he does not exist, hey, all the better. He can work stealthily to destroy you. He can work in the mode of, I'm not there. No need to be vigilant, be sober, like the Bible says. And lost people are a good example of this. A man in Samoa, just really close to the church, named Rodney. And I was shocked when I heard him say this. I gave him a gospel tract and I said, if you die tonight, where would you go? And he said, I've never thought about that. And I said, well, do you know that one day you're going to die? He said, yeah. But he said, I don't think about what happens beyond death. And I was shocked because that's a very unusual for a Samoan to say. It might be more common here. But the point is out of sight, out of mind. He didn't think it was there because he couldn't see it. Therefore, the afterlife does not exist. And how many people are going to be damned and go to hell because they neglected to see that eternity is forever? They neglected to see that they're going to die one day and they're going to stand before a holy God. And so this is something that's important. We need to get people aware of the spirit world, that there is an enemy and there is a God who loves them. And for the Christian, you want to reach your full potential for the Lord, you're going to need to live a supernatural Christian life. The victorious Christian life is found in the supernatural. We can't live after the flesh and expect God to use us. We have to live after the Spirit. We have to be Spirit-filled. And that's what the Spirit-filled life is. It's seeing Him who is invisible. It's doing what only can be done in that realm by faith. The children of Israel, they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Why? They saw the giants. They said, we can't beat those giants. And they were right. In the flesh, they could not beat those giants. But they weren't living by faith. They weren't trusting what God had already promised them. He said, you shall surely take that land. It'll be yours. They live by faith and believe the words of Him whom is invisible. They would have just went in and they would have avoided 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, doing nothing, wasting time living, just living on a human level. Is that where your Christian life is at? Are you living on a human level? Shame on you. You should be rising to heights above, living by faith.
Amen.
In Jesus above. Climbing in your Christian life and watching God do great and mighty things. And He does. He's got bigger things for all of us than we tend to allow Him to do in our lives. Verses like, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Amen. That's living by faith. You think of some of these great missionaries and these great men of God of yesteryear, and even today. How did they do that? How did they reach the heathen with the gospel the way that they did? How did they pray in, like George Mueller, $7 million? How did they do all that they did? By faith. They didn't look at their pocketbook and say, hey, I don't have that amount of money. No, we can't do that. They didn't do that. God said, you do that, but you step out first. Just like he told Peter, he said, step out on the water. You leave the rest up to me. Hey, that's exciting, amen? To live that way. To live supernaturally. Let me just say, if you're living after the flesh, your Christian life is boring. But if you'll live after the Spirit, you'll live for Him whom is invisible.
Amen.
That's where your Christian life will take off. It'll get exciting. It'll help us in time of trouble. You ever had trouble?
Yeah.
Maybe yesterday, huh? Maybe even today. I mean, we all have trouble. The Apostle Paul had trouble. He had perplexities. He had physical discomforts. He had trials and testings beyond anything that any of us have ever experienced, probably. And how did he interpret all that? He interpreted that there was a greater purpose for his life than just now. And he was able to see Him whom is invisible, and he knew that God had a purpose in all that, in those trials, in those difficulties. I remember in 2008, I was trying to get my visa to go back to Papua New Guinea. You have to get these things renewed every 3 years. Well, this time it was difficult. And the guy that does our paperwork, he's a missionary as well. He works for the government to try to get this paperwork approved. He said, I don't give bribes. And this guy wanted a bribe. And I said, what's his name? And I wrote that name down and I reported him to the embassy. But that was a 3-month wait that brought me to that point. And I was getting a little bit nervous. I said, God, are you done with me in Papua New Guinea? And have I missed your will? Am I got something in my life that needs to be, you know, addressed? And it was just a waiting game. This is way beyond my 12-month furlough that I normally would take. And that was late 2007 when I started that paperwork. And then it was February. I heard a testimony of another missionary, 2008 now. And he told me, he said, I had a similar experience as you're having. He said, I was a missionary on my way to Brazil. And he said, in the 70s, they weren't given visas very quickly. And he said, he raised his support. He was ready to go. But there was this delay in his visa. And that was left totally in God's control. Something beyond he couldn't do himself. And so he's walking down the road. He said, kicking rocks and complaining before God. And he's saying, God, what are you doing here? You called me to be a missionary in Brazil. Why aren't you opening the door? And he told me, and this is amazing. He said, my brother at that time trusted the Lord. That was the reason for the delay. And then he became a missionary himself. Well, guess what happened to me? After I heard that, I perked up and I said, you know, my brother's been calling me a little bit more. Before, I used to try to find my brother to witness to him. He'd run as fast as he could run. I'd call him. He tried to avoid me like the plague. And he was calling me now. And I said, there's something happening here. And sure enough, March of 2008, my brother trusted Christ as a Savior.
Amen.
And he's living for the Lord today. And that's not the end of the story. Okay, I go to New Guinea in 2008. Finally, right after that, my paperwork was approved to go to New Guinea. My brother was unemployed at the time. He was borrowing money from me. I was just giving it to him. And right after he got saved, he starts making money in the 6 digits. Started his own business. He's hauling vehicles and scrapping them for metal and then fixing up the ones he can and selling them for a profit. And he's making money hand over fist. And then he remembers his brother. All those times that he did me wrong when we were growing up. And all those things. He said, I got to repay my debts. So he saw the bank that I banked with down where he was living. He said, "What's your bank account number?" And he became single-handedly my best supporter. Now, I said all that to say this. That was the time that the U.S. dollar went, and the currency and exchange in Papua New Guinea from the Kina to the U.S. dollar was a 35% drop. It was like losing about $1,100 support within just a couple months. And God knew ahead of time. Amen?
Amen.
He knew ahead of time all these things needed to happen, and He made them happen. I could not have saw all that if it weren't by faith. If it weren't, I would not have seen that difficulty as a blessing. Amen? The difficulty of that getting my visa, and then God using that missionary saying, "Hey, there's something I'm trying to do here. This is a blessing." Amen? Do you know your difficulties can be a blessing?
Amen.
If you see it the way God sees it, if you'll look at it by faith. I was talking to a missionary. He's in the printing ministry, and he's experiencing some financial difficulties. He wasn't begging or complaining. He was just giving a story because he was offered a job, a secular job, doing what he does, making $120,000. And he's thinking, "Oh, that money would come in handy right now." And he said, "No, I'm going to live by faith." Amen. You see, if you're living on a natural level, you won't think that way. You'll think, "What job can I have that I can do to make the most money?" That's all you'll be thinking. You won't be thinking, "What does God want me to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You look at Jim Elliot. He died at age 25, I believe, from the Aucas. And most people say, "That's foolish to waste your life and die at such a young and an age that your life is just getting good." And he gave his life for such a foolish thing. Not if you're living by faith. God can use that. And then, last, let me say this. How to access the unseen world. Well, we've already said it many times. Faith. Now, you got to define what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 is the best definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Don't wait till you feel something to obey God's word. It's God said it. Okay, let's do it. That's it. Simple as that. Appearances, emotions, and logic, even logic, is against faith. It's not that faith is not logical. It goes beyond logic. It goes beyond it. You can't figure it out. Now, again, be careful. Make sure God's leading you, okay? Before you do something Amen. Stupid and say, "God told me." Amen. But you know what? PNG's not in the Bible. American Samoa is not in the Bible. And yet, I told my wife, "God's calling us now to American Samoa." And before I married her, I said, "God's calling me to be a missionary in PNG." She never said, "Oh, how do you know?" She just knows that God shows us things. And it's in our spirit. The emotions are the very surface of our being. God goes into the mind. He shows us in our spirits. And then He gives us the mind of Christ. Emotions are like the weather. One day I feel saved, the next day I may not feel saved. You know? Emotions are shallow. And so be careful about saying, "God showed me this." And if you wait to do whatever you think you ought to be doing, you're waiting for inspiration, that's not faith. You need God's leading. Elijah prayed. The Lord answered by fire. He accessed the unseen world with a prayer. And supernatural things happened. Dick Harrelson, a missionary to Papua New Guinea, when he was in Papua New Guinea, he had several supporting churches just as I do. He's no longer there. And the pastor, he said, I'm not super spiritual, but he said, I go around the church sometimes, and he said, I'll put my hand on their prayer letter, and I'll pray for the missionary. He said, Brother Dick, when I got to your prayer letter, he said, a heavy emotion came over me to pray for you, and I just started weeping for you and interceding for you in a real serious way. And he said, when was that? And the pastor told him it was this time. He said, brother. And he said he got goosebumps. Now we're talking about emotions, amen? He said he got goosebumps. He said, that's when I was having trouble with the rascals at a roadblock. They were trying to take my daughter. And that prayer that God led that pastor to do delivered him. Have you ever heard of Victor Plymore? Or Plymire, rather. He was a missionary in Tibet. He was crossing over the mountains there, that mountain chain there, in that cold weather, passing out literature to the people in that area, and he got his feet frostbitten to the point where he was almost going to lose his feet. And there was a lady in Michigan that knew Victor and was praying for him, and she was getting news through the paper about Victor, and she knew he was in trouble, but she didn't know exactly what. And in fact, one of the reports read that he was dead. But God led her, spoke to her, and said, pray for his feet. She's like, pray for his feet? There's no information that she knew about that he needed help with his feet. Well, she did. She prayed for his feet, and Victor lived. Amen.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to be a part of that?
Amen.
See, that's what God does. When we live by faith, you know, God leads us along and shows us what to do. And he helps us through the difficulties. He helps us with our finances. He gives us wisdom that otherwise we would not have. His secrets are with the righteous. If we'll live by faith, he shows us things that we need to know. Prayer that gets to heaven comes from heaven. How did Daniel stop the mouth of lions? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. How did Noah know there was a flood coming and what to do to prepare for it? The Lord spoke to him.
Amen.
Now, I know the difference is we have the written word of God. You want to hear God speak to you? Just start reading the Bible along.
Amen.
Amen. Stick with his book.
Amen.
And if God tells you to do something outside of this book, that's not like go to P&G. If it's not contrary to the scripture, then you obey it. Amen?
Yeah.
All these above things are impossible unless you tap into the invisible God. How are we going to defeat the crafty, invisible enemy and his demons? How are we going to do it? By faith.
That's right.
The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
If you live in a way that ignores these things, you're living a lie. Because these things are real. Living by faith is seeing the unseeable, knowing the unknowable, and doing the impossible.
Amen.
Missionary to the Hebrides, now Vanuatu, John Patton. He was the king of the cannibals. I read in that book that was written about him, that the people that he eventually won to the Lord, some of the chiefs, the witch doctors and stuff, they hated him so much, they wanted to kill him. And they were surrounding his hut that he had built to do that very thing, to kill him. And they were going to move in, but they saw several men in white robes standing around.
Amen.
Like security, protecting his hut. And after they became Christians, they told him, John Patton, they called him Missy. They said, Missy, we were going to, you know, kill you, but you had some security guards standing around your house when we were going to do that. Who were they? He said, I don't know. Maybe it was like those chariots of fire in 2 Kings. See, God can do whatever he wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
If we'll just walk by faith, we can all live supernaturally if we'll live just by faith. And the Bible does say that. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we ask that you would help your people, Lord, to live above the sea line. That help them, Lord, not to trust in their feelings, to trust in their sight, but to live by faith. And Lord, help them to trust you to do great things by and through them. Lord, help them, Lord, in these things, in Jesus' name.
Tremendous insight to the invisible right there. Praise the Lord. Let's grab a songbook. Let's stand for our invitation. 308 in our songbook says, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." Let's pray this song as we sing it even for our invitation. If you're here today, have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior of your soul, Redeemer, then that's just what you need to do, is surrender all. Let go of everything else and cling in faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I...